Would you lead us in our opening prayer this morning, please? Be seated. Y'all can be seated. It is so good to see you this morning in worship. If you're visiting today, we hope you feel right at home. And I hope that, as always, you'll go out of your way to speak to the folks that not just only that you know. It's good to speak to the people you do know, too, you know. But also those that might be visiting and our guests today, we're so glad that you're here. We have been, for the last several weeks, we've been talking about, actually the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about sharing our faith. We've been talking about a lot of different ways and how important that is for God to use us in so many different ways to share our faith. I want to give you an opportunity this morning right off the bat, maybe. You've had an opportunity to do that this week because this is going to become a regular thing. I won't just, you know, we're going to have, I hope that I will challenge you as well as myself to share, and whether it be your testimony or whether it be as you're saying, giving thanks at the table, or whether it's by handing someone a tract. You know, our goal in teaching every believer a witness was to create a culture in our church where we're not only always talking about Christ to each other, we're talking about Christ to others as well. So, with that said, would anybody want to stand and maybe share about an opportunity you've had this week that you've shared your faith, maybe through giving someone a tract, maybe you shared your testimony, maybe it was through giving of thanks over a meal, or whatever way that it may have been. Would anybody be willing? I know it's early, But maybe you might be willing to share, and that would encourage all of us. Anybody? Want to just give you, go ahead, Juan. What your life was before Christ, how you met Christ, and how Christ makes your life meaningful now. We'll do that in about 3 to 5 minutes or whatever the time allows. And then as we're maybe out eating or with a group eating, a good way to share is just as you're getting ready to say grace over your food, and, you know, just ask your server, call her by name or him by name, and just simply say, you know, we always give thanks over our food. Is there anything we can pray about for you? And without fail, you know, we were eating this morning at dawn, hurt herself and fell. We went after we got around and went to eat, and I talked to this lady, and we just simply asked her, you know, about praying about something for her. For her, and she was already a Christian. She talked about how, you know, good God had been to her. You see, you never go wrong talking about Christ, whether you're talking about Christ to someone who already knows Him or someone who doesn't know Him. We just need to talk about Him more and make Him known in our community and our neighborhood. So, man, you blessed my heart already. Appreciate you doing that. And let's just keep doing it week after week after week, because the more we sow, the more we're going to see fruit from what we sow.
Ken,
yeah.
I got to tell you about it. It happened a couple weeks ago. Julie and I were with our golfing buddies up to the depot. And they all started with some food. did it in without, you know, saying prayer. Yule and I were sitting down. There's about 40 some of us. And Yule and I looked at each other when they brought the food up. We bowed our heads and started praying, but I remember once in a while I like to look around and see what's going on. I heard the forks quit working, and I looked around, and they'd all bowed their heads. And they weren't used to having somebody say grace over the food. I could tell that. But I figured it was a big witness to them. That's what they needed to do.
Amen.
That's right.
That's what it's all about. That is absolutely what it's all about, is making people think and be aware that there is a God and there is a Savior who came on a rescue mission so that we could be forgiven. Thank y'all for sharing. Okay, quiet.
Those of you that need to be up here, come on.
Kind of fit what we was talking about before we sung, wasn't it? Giving thanks. I'm glad that you're here. And this morning, we've got a couple of different things going on. Mr. John Creason from the Elk and Gideon Camp is going to be coming momentarily and sharing with us about the ministry and what's going on in the Gideons and how they're sending the gospel around the world through placement of Bibles, which I think is ever more important than it's ever been. But this also, if you notice in your bulletin, you have a prayer guide, and that prayer guide reminds us that this is the beginning of our season of international missions, our Lottie Moon Christmas offering that's coming up, and a prayer guide that you can use every day this week, starting today, to pray for different needs, different people groups, different missionaries. It's kind of expanded through the years, not just praying for missionaries, but for people groups as well. And with that said, Elaine, there you are. You come up and share with us a little bit. And after Elaine gets through, while we're receiving, now we're not receiving the offering this morning, you realize that. But as we kick it off, I've got a pretty neat video I want to show if I can get it to play. So come on, Elaine.
Good morning. Our theme this year is, pray for me, I'm real nervous, so I have a reason I'll share with you later, but I didn't think I'd make it this morning, but I'm here with the Lord's help. For International Missions, Lottie Moon Christmas Offering, November the 30th through the December 7th, theme, One Sacred Effort. That means you, one. Each one of us can make a sacred effort. Find your place in God's story. Did you hear that? Find your place in God's story. National goal is 175 million. North Carolina goal is 13.5 million. Our goal is 16,000. We will take that up unless someone objects us to December the 21st, the third Sunday, because we are four Sundays to the cemetery fund, and I don't think there's five Sundays this month. About need a light up here with my age and eyes. Every individual, family, and church is called to find their place in God's redemptive narrative. We are called in. We are commanded. We're not just called, we're commanded to join God at work to all nations according to Matthew 28, 19 and 20, our sacred effort. Find your place in God's story. Will you help discover how a few of the approximately 5,000 missionaries have found are now finding their place in bringing the gospel to all the people hurting in the world? From a song stage in Sweden to a pregnancy health center in Southeast Asia, International Mission Board missionaries find creative and distinctive ways to meet people where they are. Did you hear that? They find a way to meet the circumstance and the need where they are. God helps them to do that through each individual missionary. This year's 8-week of prayer stories also illustrates how Southern Baptists unite to join God in His work. When you pray and give, you support those who extend your outreach from your church. It helps all these missionaries. To those without Christ, you become part of God's story around the world. In this week of prayer stories, you will learn how your support enables your missionaries. In our first story, this missionary, Tony Matthews, he thought international missions wasn't for everyone. He was a pastor, so he focused mostly on his local church. But in 2000, he had been in the cooperative program for 22 years. But in 2012, things changed. He went on a trip. He helped lead activities for children of Southern Baptist missionaries in Africa. And then it says that how he saw it and himself, he realized how enriching a pastor's personal involvement in the international missions could be to the local church. So each individual can have an impact on the local church. Find your place in God's story and in your impact through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Pray about how you can share the gospel, both near and far, according to the Great Commission. And the Great Commission, if I can get this, I can see this, is Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So each one of us makes a sacred impact on everyone every day of our lives. So be sure when you see someone, you act like a Christian that you are, that you say something to them to start a conversation, or just don't let it go by. It's our duty as Christians to spread the word. And I had the opportunity to be with someone that was a Christian for 37 years, my boss. He passed away the day before Thanksgiving. Not knowing, he told me he'd see me Monday. He was a Christian. He did mission work. He was a lawyer. He tried to do right. Sometimes I thought, are you really a Christian? But he dedicated a lot of his life to the Nicaragua children, digging wells and helping feed them and taking packages to them. And he'd been there for the last 5 years. And his memorial is this evening at his church. And then his big service is at Wake Chapel tomorrow. So y'all remember the Chuck Alexander family and me, because they consider me part family after 38 years. Thank you.
And I hope that you will do that and use that prayer guide each and every day this week to help you be mindful of needs around the world. I thought it would be neat this morning as we start thinking about international missions. I often have heard people say, well, there's a lot of needs around here. There's a lot of people that need to be helped. And you know, you're absolutely right. But Jesus said it was not a choice of ours to make at home or around the world. It was both. And we're responsible as a local church not only to reach our own communities and neighborhoods, but also to have a hand and a part in reaching the entire world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you'll notice in your bulletin, if you open it up there, there's some statistics that maybe will motivate you to give, motivate you to pray this coming month, that talks about the churches that have been planted, the baptisms internationally, the world population, and still yet the many, many people who have never, ever heard the gospel. And many don't even have any Christian literature in their own language. So this morning, as we're receiving our offering, ushers, you come. Go ahead, Elaine. Okay. And you said the third Sunday is when we're going to do the offering. Is that what you said? Okay. And, of course, as always, it's open all month long. If you'd like to give and designate toward the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, that's always an opportunity for you. So, ushers, if you'll come this morning, and while we are receiving our offering, we're going to be talking. I want you to watch this music video. I think it's entitled Jesus, the Hope of the World. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm thankful that He's not only the hope of the world, He is my hope. And I know Him personally. And I'm grateful. And I hope if you don't know Him, that you'll meet Him today. So with that said, let's pray together. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your blessings. Thank you for this church who is so faithful to give so many different ways. God, we honor you. We bless your name today. Lord, our hearts are just filled with thanksgiving for the testimonies that we have heard today from people that have shared and people that have been willing to talk to others about Christ this week. For tracts that have been passed out, we ask that you'd water each and every one and give the increase. And God, certainly we pray for these families and these missionaries for this morning. And God, help us to be aware of our need to share the gospel and our own testimony of what God has done in our life to the people that we meet. Keep it ever before us, God. Help us to be intentional about it. And Lord, help us to be accountable for it. And God, we just pray that you would overwhelm us with a sense of responsibility to share the gospel. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hope of the world, your grace.
I'll tell you, that does something in my heart, because I don't know what your vision of heaven is like, but this much I know for a fact. I know around the throne of God one day there's going to be people from every kindred, tribe, and tongue. Some of them that are on that video screen that we're going to see in heaven. And I'm convinced that whether you're praying for them or sharing your faith with somebody next door, or whether you're giving a generous gift, the international missions, I'm going to tell you something. That's laying up treasures in heaven. And you have a part in doing that. Wow. That blessed my heart. We were unable to hook up with the Gideons on Gideon Sunday when every other church in our area was doing that. Sometimes it's just hard for us to lock in on the date. But we are fortunate enough this morning to have Brother John Creason. I got that right, didn't I, John? There you go. From the Elkin Camp that is going to share with us about what God is doing through the power of a word. You know, it's kind of like what we've been talking about handing people tracts. And by the way, there's several tracts that are out there on the table. You can pick some of those up as you leave today and use them however you feel led to use them. But, you know, they're full of the word, and that's what the Gideons do. Of course, you know, is placing the word of God in so many different places. And at the close of our service, as always, you have an opportunity, if you like to give, to help the Gideons. There's many ways you can help them. So, anyway, John, you come on and share with us what God has placed on your heart.
Do I need to wait till Sunday to get saved? No, that's right. Thank you. I had a young man named Scotty come to me. He was struggling from alcohol and drug addiction, and he had heard some Bible studies and been studying a little bit about Scripture, and he came to me and wanted to know how about getting saved. Wanted to know about how to get turn his life over to Jesus. So, you know, the first thing I thought of was Scripture, you know, and verse that came to my mind was Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So that's, I pulled out one of these little testaments. We give out these little testaments, personal testaments here. And I showed Scotty at the back. At the back, there's all these different verses it talks about. I got to explain to him how much God loved him. And I got to explain to him that we're all sinners, that for we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I also told him about the remedy for sin. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." That's Romans 6:23. And I showed him that he could be saved. He says that, and I explained to him, I read this verse as well. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him." You know, he got down on his knees and asked the Lord to come into his life. And so far as now, as I know, he's doing well. He's doing fine. And you know, that brings me to what I do is, you know, I'm a Gideon. I'm part of this ministry here. And how many of you know who Gideons are? Okay. All right, we can move on now. No, I do want to give you just a minute, just briefly just tell you, because it shows God showed me something from how this all started. This ministry was founded in 1899. It was by two businessmen. They were traveling and they were sharing a hotel room, and they decided they needed to have a Bible study between themselves. And through that Bible study, they both saw the need to hand out the Word of God and to get this ministry started. you know, now the Gideons are over 300,000 members. We are in over 196 countries now. And the Word of God is distributed in over 95 languages, different languages. And this all started from two men having a Bible study. And, you know, it always warms my heart and blesses me to hear that, you know, something small, if you just step out on faith, big things can happen. You know, I'm sure y'all have seen these in hotels. We place these in hotels everywhere. They're also in doctor's offices and in hospitals, and we go around distributing these. And you know, since 1908, there's been over 2 billion scriptures handed out, and in this past year, it's been over 85 million. The purpose of the Gideons is our main purpose is to lead others to Christ. And we do that by Bible distribution, like I said before, and personal witness. You know, it's very important when we hand out these scriptures where, you know, at times we're able to tell people where Jesus found us. You know, there was a man named Keith Wilson. He was struggling from alcohol and drug addiction himself. He had checked into a hotel and planned on finishing his life there and just and killing himself. He had burned down his house. He had already run off his family. He didn't have anything. He was sitting in the hotel, and he tried to put his cigarettes and things in a drawer right beside his bed. And every time he closed the drawer, he noticed that, you know, the Bible was in the way. It kept on crushing his cigarettes and what have you. And he decided to take the Bible out and lay it out on the nightstand. And he kept looking at the Bible. And like I said, he was drinking. And he would pick up the Bible and he would start reading it. And he said, I'd read a little bit and then I'd put it down. He said, I just don't understand it. You know, but he kept on reading it. He'd pick up a little bit and he'd read a little bit more and he'd put it down. And pretty soon he noticed that every time he started reading scripture, he had less and less inclined to drink. And so he kept on reading the Bible, and he on TV, he was watching evangelists on TV, and 3 days later he gave his life to Christ in a hotel room. But he had asked the hotel manager if he could have the Bible. And he did. He kept this Bible and kept reading, kept studying, and things started making sense to him. As Gideon, we go on what they're called Bible blitzes, and we do that from going. There's all of them across the country. We participate in one in New York City. Every year, a group of us go up to New York City and we participate and help the camps around there. And we go to all the five boroughs in New York, Brooklyn and Queens and Manhattan to hand out these little scriptures and place these scriptures in different places. Now, you know, I heard that there was a group of guys going to New York, and, you know, I prayed about it, of course. You know, I asked God, you know, do you want me to go? Now, first off, let me say this. I lived in New York before, but unfortunately, I wasn't following Jesus. But I knew how things went up there and how things were. And you know, I prayed about it, and I felt God wanted me to go. And I said, okay, you know, I didn't want to go. I really didn't. I didn't want to go, but I believe now that if God tells me to do something, I need to be obedient and do it. So I did. I stepped out on faith, and this time I did have Jesus going with me, you know. And we got up there, and one of the things we do is we go to the different school districts, we go to colleges, and we go to the jails around there. We also speak at some of the local churches in the area in New York. And I got to participate in going over to Rikers Island, which is a holding facility for guys getting until their court date or until they get transferred to different prisons. Well, this is a huge place, and it actually is an island. You go, you drive across this bridge, and you go and drive in, and this big, huge gate's about almost as tall as the ceiling. They shut, and you know you're in jail. But I got to participate in some of the services. There was about seven of them. That's how big this facility is. I got to, it was me and three other Gideons and an auxiliary member. We got to share our testimony in that service, and in that service, three gave their life to Christ. And, you know, it was during the service, you know, there was singing and, you know, praising God. And I noticed that, you know, there was this man behind me that, you know, one of the prisoners there that was, you know, you could just tell some people just really on fire for God, for the Lord. And just, you know, I could hear him praising God. And as I was about to leave, he said, "God bless you." And he handed me a letter. And I said, you know, and I took it and I said, "Thank you." And as I was walking out, you know, and he just had a smile on his face, this glow. And I got out of the prison and in the van, and we were driving back. And that's another one of my favorite parts about going on Rikers Island. I got to leave, you know, that same day. But I pulled out this letter and I opened it up, and it says at the top, it says, "God bless you all." And it says, "My name is Casey Hunter," and he gives his case number, and he says, "I have no one in my life right now. I just learned how to read and write at 55 years of age." He says, "My first book was a Gideon's Bible." That means that one of the first book he ever read was a Gideon's Place Bible. In 16 months, he read that. He says, "I pray for one piece of mail." And he gives his address here, and it says at the bottom, "I need to hear my name called for mail at least once." I thought it was amazing that this first book this guy ever read was the Bible. And I look back and wish my first book I ever read was the Bible. You know, it would have saved me a lot of pain and heartache. But this man, I we started writing back and forth, and, you know, he's living for the Lord right now, and he's you know, ministering to people and giving his testimony. You know, I share this with people, and, you know, you could tell that, you know, he's still learning how to read and write. There's a lot of misspelled words there, but it gave me a huge blessing, and this guy's still doing real good and really well, and that was part of one of the blessings I received from going to this and being obedient. Like I said, we go to different schools in that area to hand out these little testaments. The kids going to school, as they're coming to school and as they're leaving. Up there in New York, there's the city. It's the school systems are set up. It's a lot different down here. You know, down here we got a building that's a school building. A couple of miles, there might not be another house or another building around you. Up there, you're walking down the street and there's nothing but buildings, and you'll be passing by a door and that's the entrance to a school. So they would drop us off, they would give us cases of Bibles and things like that, and these scriptures to hand out, and we would stand there, and I'd pray to God to help me hand out all these scriptures. We were asked to move a lot. We can't be on school grounds, you know, handing out these scriptures. So a lot of times we would be asked to move across the street. Well, we'd ask, "Well, where can we stand?" You know, and they would tell us, you know, and it wouldn't be directly in front of the door. We'd have to cross the street or go to a certain area, which a lot of times worked out better, because I remember one school I was at, the security guard, he was real nice. They were so glad to see us here, but he said, "But you've got to go over here. You can't stand here and hand out these scriptures." And I said, "That's fine." He told me where to stand. And I was at a corner, and I was, not only was I getting traffic from kids walking to school, but I was also right there at a bus stop, and people were getting all on and off the bus constantly. So, you know, I was handing out scriptures left and right, you know. This one kid came up to me, and I offered him a copy of God's Word, and he looked at me, and he smiled, and he says, "Hold on just a second." And he reached in his backpack and he pulled out one of these testaments. He says, "I've still got the one you gave me last year," you know. And And he said, but I wish that you would give me another one so I can give it to my friend across the street over here. And that was a huge blessing to me because, you know, it showed me this thing works, you know, handing out these scriptures. And I said, absolutely. You know, I gave him two, you know, in case someone wants to give someone to somebody else. You know, we gave out those scriptures and you know, we would do that every day, you know, go to different boroughs. And, you know, I get many blessings from people. And, of course, you know, there was some people that just was scared to death to see that I had a copy of God's Word. You know, they cringed from it. But got many blessings. I was standing in front of this one store that this man came out and he was talking to me. And I told him about the Gideons. And he told me, you know, that day I'd been there all day out just on my feet. And I started complaining to myself. I said, you know, I was like, man, my feet hurt. And I was just like, I made the mistake of buying these brand new shoes before I went up there. Because, you know, I wanted to look good, of course, you know. But it was a bad choice, you know. I needed some comfortable sneakers. But anyway, you know, I was standing there. And this man, he was an Indian guy, Indian American. And he was telling about his grandfather who was saved at a Billy Graham crusade in over in India. And from there on, he evangelized. And he told me he would hand out little scriptures, little Bibles like that. And he said, yeah, my grandfather, he would get beat up on a daily basis. And he said people would rip him from his hands. And he would get beat up and bruised and hurt every day and cussed at every day. And you know, I just melted right then. I said, oh, forgive me, God. And it's like my feet don't hurt so bad now, you know. So, but that was, you know, that was a blessing there, you know. And I got to give him one of the scriptures, and he thanked me. And, you know, God's always there. And, you know, it just, you know, reminded me of another part of scripture. It's Hebrews 13:5. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And he didn't. He was there with me all the way, you know, along with, you know, I wasn't afraid, and he was with me. You know, just to let you know that we do those Bible blitzes, but we also go to different places like, I know y'all know of the Dixie Classic Fair. We usually have booths there, and we hand out these scriptures, and then we're able to tell people about God's love. Now, I was at one time, you know, I like I said, I hadn't always been following the Lord. And, you know, I've been going to church all my life, but it turns out I didn't know Jesus and I didn't have a personal relationship with him. My life, unfortunately, I came to this man named Darrell Adams, who's also a Gideon and a good friend of mine. And he was the one that helped me out. I had a problem with drugs and alcohol myself. And he told me of his story. And I was sitting in one of his Bible studies. During the week, I work as a house manager at a halfway house ministry for recovering alcoholics and addicts. And we have Bible studies throughout the week. And during one of his Bible studies, you know, he was telling us about his testimony, about how he came to the Lord, knowing the Lord, knowing Jesus. And he told us about one day he was sitting there and he had a gun at one side and a bottle of liquor at the other side. And, you know, he was just, he had the devil on his shoulder, just kept telling him, just go ahead and end it. Just go ahead and finish it. There's no use. And he said right about that time he got a knock on the door and it was one of his relatives. And the man came in and he said, Darrell, God sent me here to talk to you. And Darrell said, I know. And he let him in and they sat down. They pulled out a little testament. And Darrell gave his life to the Lord then. From that, you know, it showed me that how this thing works. You know, we tell one person about Jesus. They tell another person about Jesus. And it's all about being obedient to what God asked them to do. Because he didn't want to go down there and talk to Darrell because he knew how he was. But God told him to, you know, and so he was being obedient. And, you know, I dare say if he hadn't been obedient, I wouldn't be standing here right here in front of you today. You know, speaking's not my thing. You know, I feel like Moses up here. I'm like, God, I can't speak. You know, God, help me. So, but he's made a way. But as I was saying, I was sitting in one of the Bible studies, and, you know, he was going over the verses that this man read to him. And, of course, you know, I'd been hearing all these verses all my life, but I just didn't get it. You know, he read John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Then he went on to 3:17. It said, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Well, when I heard that, something clicked, you know, like it never did before. It was like the first time I'd ever read that verse. And I just knew then, you know, that evening I asked Jesus into my heart and asked him. And since then, I've been trying to follow him ever since. You know, that just goes to show me that, you know, sometimes that we think we might have a relationship with him, but we might not, you know, and people need to hear about Jesus. And, you know, it's just like this, that man said earlier, they said they were Christians, but sometimes you just don't know until they start reading. And scripture is one way, the best way for me to get through those thoughts and what my heart's really at. And this is where God speaks to me, is through scripture. You know, through this ministry, I've been able to help a lot of people, by helping people, I mean hand them these testimonies. You know, like I said, I was a house manager, and I'll tell you one more story. There was a man named Richie Porter who came to me. He was came to our house. He was an alcoholic, bad alcoholic, and he became a really close friend of mine. He was from Brooklyn. He was this Brooklyn Irish typical tough guy. You know, just every other word was a curse word, and he, you know, didn't talk about God, had that thick Brooklyn accent, which, you know, I loved it. But, you know, he knew he was in trouble, and he knew he needed help. And so he came to us, and, you know, of course, I gave him one of these scriptures like I do all the men, and I show them, you know, at the beginning, these little scriptures, there's little these little helps, you know, at the beginning. And you know, if you're ever, if you're, you know, it talks about Christian living, and it helps us with life's personal problems. It gives us the verses to go to. You know, if you're you're depressed, it gives you many verses to go to about where you need to read about that. If you're having doubt, if you're having stress, I know nobody gets stressed, but there's some verses in the Bible that give us the answer. But I got to give him one of these scriptures. Well, this man found out that he had cirrhosis of the liver. He gave his life to Christ, and he started following Christ. You know, he carried around one of these little scriptures, and for about a year he had steady trying to follow Christ. God kept him sober for a year. He got baptized as the showing that he was following Jesus, and a week later he passed away in the hospital. He got sick and passed away, and it showed me how, you know, how patient God is with us, and what he did for him. But, you know, at his funeral, you know, there was a couple of people asked to speak, you know, on his behalf, and it's one of those times where it's hard to grieve, because, you know, everything was just picture, you know, perfect there, you know, it's just. But one of his roommates brought out his little testament, and he showed it to us, and he read from it some of Richie's favorite scriptures they had bookmarked in here in his Bible. You know, I still carry mine around. This is one that was given to me, and it's falling apart. But because it's falling apart, I'm not, thank God. You know, those things, those are just some of the things that thing can happen if you step out on faith and give God's word. There are ways that you can help. You know, we all ask how we can help, and many of y'all already have, and you just don't know it. But one of the biggest things we ask for is prayer. If you could pray for us, you know, there's like we said before, there's a lot of Gideons in harm's way, you know, and in countries where you can be beheaded for being a Christian. You can also join. There's ways for you to get involved and join in there. There's also these little cards we have in recognition and memory, where you can donate money for Bibles for people, your friends. And one of the other things is to give approximately $1.25 buys one of these scriptures and gets them in the hands of people that need them, people like me. So, you know, there's many ways to do it, and we're self-supporting. Like that trip to New York, I pay for myself. All the money and everything goes into these scriptures, and we just need them so we can hand them out. With that being said, you know, I'm going to close with one of my favorite scriptures, and this is what helped me, that, you know, giving out these scriptures about what's going to happen, you know, what's, you know, is it going to be worth it? And this is one of our Gideon scriptures that we like to read, and it's one of my favorites still, and it comes from Isaiah 55, verse 11. It says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And in it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Thank you, Pastor, and thank you, Church, for having me and giving me your time. Thank you, and God bless you.
There is an incredible power in somebody's story. I'm thankful at times when God's Word interacts with our lives, it brings about change. And that's what ministry is. Certainly that's what the ministry of the Gideons is. But I realized, just as John was sharing, being that I can't look in your heart, you know, as well as you can't look in my heart, I don't know what your relationship with God is like, or even if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I know oftentimes we can go through church activities and go through the motions and still yet not have any life toward God. John gave testimony to that. Many of you could give testimony to that. So this morning, this is how I'd like for us to close out the service, this part of the service, is to give you an opportunity maybe to respond. You really never know what God is going to do. You never know what God or how God is working. And I'm going to ask Evelyn to come what number is Just As I Am? 307. We're going to sing a very familiar hymn, 307, as our closing invitation song. Dawn's going to kind of try to lead us in that. This morning, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're not sure, you're not certain, hey, I believe God wants you to know, and you can be sure. And you've got to trust Him, the fact that He died on the cross for your sin, and that He rose again. That's what the gospel is. If you've never done that, you've never repented of your sin and put your trust in Jesus. And I've got good news for you. You can do that today. You can do that today. Or maybe you are a Christian, but for some reason or another, God's been, you know, I find it, God doesn't stop speaking and stop working just when we walk off the church grounds. And maybe He's been working in your heart and dealing with you for some time about some stuff. And you just need to get some things right with God today. And I would encourage you and invite you. Because, hey, it doesn't matter whether you're a believer or not. We come to God just as we are, without one plea. And it's His mercy and grace that changes our hearts. So let's everybody stand. And we're going to sing this old hymn together, Just As I Am. And as we sing it, listen, if God, through His Spirit, has spoken to your heart, then why don't you respond this morning?